we'll give you a few minutes because we are in a hurry. And then we'll get into the business of the committee. Today we just have minutes and last week's minutes to adopt. And then secondly, just the program. And then we adjourn. Yeah, you can take the floor.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. I was asked to just address members, or just address members on the matter of Rule 27, which deals with quorum issues of joint committees. But before I get to that, let me just, you will know that when we, from the presentation I did at the last workshop, that we've already pointed out that there's a problem with the membership of this committee, where you are supposed to be 37, and I think you're fewer than that. And we are trying to address the problem of membership at the moment through the Joint Rules Committee. There was, if you remember, the rule change that I proposed at the last meeting, where we said that we bring the membership down to 13, like portfolio committees, size of portfolio committees. That is now before the rule changes. That is actually before the Joint Rules Committee, is that the Rules Committee will decide at the start of each parliament what the membership of this committee is, subject obviously to the formula contained in the provision of the interim constitution that establishes this committee. But at the moment still, for all intents and purposes, you are supposed to be 37 members, which means that you have to be 19 to be correct, and you need 10 at least for a decision. So that is what you're supposed to be. Anything other than that is ultra vires. I mean, it's null and void. If you take decisions other than that, it's null and void. Which is problematic because we need to try and sort this out as soon as possible. Unfortunately, the Joint Rules Committee at the meeting did not take a decision. They referred the matter because they want legal opinion. They referred the matter to the Joint Subcommittee on Review of Rules. That committee will be meeting very soon and be reporting back to the Joint Rules Committee in November. So hopefully, I'm praying that we can get this membership issue resolved by November, that the Joint Rules Committee then actually adopts the rule change, because that would make this committee's life much easier, because 37 is an impossible number for a committee in this parliament to work, and particularly for a joint committee to find time to meet. That's the one issue. Now, so the fact that you have to be 19 to be correct, and the fact that you have to be 10 for a decision, that you need 10 members will be the majority of that, in other words, to adopt a decision. But 19 is the quorum that you need. The rule says that, Rule 27.1 says that a joint committee may proceed with business irrespective of the number of members present. Now, it's a fairly general rule, and it also applies in our case to the portfolio committees. So whether there are 3 members present or whether there are 30 members present, the meeting can proceed. And you don't need to have a particular number from the NA or a particular number from the NCOP, particularly in this committee where you are not constituted in terms of components. Remember, the membership of this committee is determined by the strength of parties in the National Assembly. So though you have membership from that, because you're joint, and if both houses aren't present, you're not joint, you have to be both to be joint. I mean, that's a logical and a semantic thing. But the fact is just you consist of members of the NCOP and members of the NA, not of a component and a component. So even when, in some joint committees, when they vote, where they consist of components, they have to have a majority in the NCOP component, majority in the NA component. That's not the case in your committee. You just have to have a majority present of 37, and a majority of those members must vote in favor of, if there is voting, must vote in favor of a decision. So that's how the decision-making in this committee works. This particular rule also it deals with quorum issues, and it says that there's reference in 27 sub 3 to if a joint committee consists of house components, there must also be quorums present in each of the components. But because it doesn't pertain to this particular committee, I mean, it's not really relevant. All you need to be concerned about is that this committee has, at the moment, in terms of the interim constitution and the joint rules, you have to be 37 until we change it. Unfortunately, that's how it is. And so, in other words, you need to be 19 to be correct, and then the majority of those members will just majority of 19, I think, is 10 if my math doesn't drop, you know, doesn't desert me. Yeah, can I just go to one more rule and then I'll answer questions? The other rule that I just want to refer to is Rule 23, which refers to, you know, that we changed all the joint committees of Parliament to have co-chairpersons, with the exception of, I think, intelligence is the only one that I don't have. But that's a different kind of committee. So it's Rule 23.1 says if a joint committee has co-chairpersons, the co-chairpersons must co-chair meetings, except when one of them takes the chair by agreement between them. Okay? It says, and then it goes on to say if a committee has a single chairperson, that person must chair the meetings. But in this case, it's so co-chairs must always take meetings, co-chairs must call meetings, and only by agreement between the two of them will one or the other, you know, take care of business on behalf of the other then. But that's how the joint committees and the chairpersonship of the joint committees work. Okay, I think if there's any points of clarity that members want, I'll be glad to answer.
Okay. Daniel?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. On the Rule 23, I think the operative word there is if, and I'll just for now leave it at that. If it means it might not be co-chairing, is that what you're saying?
The rule says if a joint committee has co-chairpersons, and this committee has co-chairpersons.
If, okay. On the rule, the one that you started with, Rule 27, you just said the business of the committee must continue. But the issue is on the decisions that are taken thereof. So it means, because here we have a problem with the issues of oversight, that this committee has not done much, because the NCOP as a house has always been out. And as an NA, you have been sitting here doing nothing. But when you're talking oversight, you don't necessarily take decisions. You're just overseeing that, then you'll come back and report or do whatever it is the committee is supposed to do. Are you then, or are these rules then saying that that business can continue? I've not finished. That business saying, then in the meantime, you can continue doing that. Only when we're supposed to take decisions, we will not be allowed, because then we won't be a joint in terms of the composition.
Can answer that one, Ismara.
Okay, in the first place, it's very important for this committee to function properly, for any committee to function properly, that all meetings must be called properly. In other words, you call all members to a meeting. That you follow proper meeting procedure. And when you talk about oversight, if you want to go on an oversight visit, the committee can't go on an oversight visit without the committee taking that decision. And you can't take, I cannot see a committee taking a decision that would allow only the NA component to go on a particular visit. I think this thing about NA and NCOP, the fact that you are a joint committee, and if you don't work together, then you're not fulfilling the function that you established for. And the fact is, there needs to be, if you are experiencing problems in terms of meeting time and things like that, it has to be escalated to the presiding officers and to the rules committees, so that your problems can be sorted out there. But it's no use there being a stalemate and one trying to do something without the other, because you can't. You're a joint committee. If it happens on occasion that some NCOP members cannot go along on an oversight visit, or some NA members can't go along on an NA visit, I mean, then it's normal. But I mean, you are a joint committee, and in order for you to do anything in terms of oversight, going on an oversight visit, expecting something, considering deployment of the defense forces, you know, wherever, and stuff like that, I mean, once you take a decision on a report, say, for example, you want to report to the House on an NCACC report, it might have been discussed here in the committee, and maybe there were two NCOP members present, or maybe there were none, but before that report can be adopted, you have to have a quorum present, and it will hopefully be a quorum consisting of all members of both houses.
Just to follow up, No. I hear what you're saying. Decision, you are very clear on that because we are a joint. I'm specifically zooming in on oversight here because this is the current thing. Oversight, going out, because you have just said there's nothing wrong with that. The decision then must be taken by both. The problem, the crux of the matter is going out there and overseeing things. But while sitting here, as you can see, we've got wire joint for now. But going out there, that's where our problem is. We're not taking decisions out there.
Okay, honorable members, okay.
Just to elaborate.
I've noted all of you. I've noted you as well, Comrade Ben. I'll give it to you now, and then Masia will follow, and then Comrade Ben, you can follow as well. Unless if you wanted to raise a point of order.
Yes, I want just to thank this point. Now, on the question of
Honorable Ben.
Yeah.
Bengiti Chief, if it's not the point of order, can we follow the sequence?
Well, in a way.
Say you want to make a follow up.
Okay.
Honorable Mlambo.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. It's just a follow up to say, for an example, we are saying a decision. The issue of the oversight is the key issue here that has made us call you to come and clarify some of these things. Because, for an example, there's an insinuation that on the composition of the sitting members that we suggested that we discussed the workshop. There's this insinuation that it should be composed, 13 members should be 9 from the NCOP because there are 9 provinces. And I find it very strange. But the follow-up on what Honorable Daniels she's saying, if there are members available from the NCOP in terms of oversight, let's say, for argument's sake, the other co-chairperson is not available, but there are 2 members from the NCOP who can join members from the NA to go on oversight as joint. In that case, do you want to tell me that a decision by this committee can be taken, that that oversight visit can take place? Thank you.
Honorable Masia. Can you, Marina, can you take all these questions?
Yes,
I'm
taking them. Masia? Yeah. Now, Chairperson, I think where we should start is what constitutes this committee? Is it 9 members from the NCOP, and how many members from the NA? And secondly, I hear you say that any activity of the committee depend on the resolution of the committee. Whether when action has to take place, we are fully constituted as a joint, or the other part of the joint is not there, but because the committee has agreed that we need to enter into that activity, we can go to that activity. I want very fine, clear lines on that response. But the other part is the part where we have to clearly define what is it that we mean when we say we are a joint committee. Let's assume that we were able to have all the 37 members present. That 37 members are constituted of what number from the NCOP and what number from the NA.
Honorable Ben?
Yeah, thank you, sir. In fact, mine is very near to the member who just spoken. I'm saying we are in this meeting today, and we have a quorum. The joint, that is the, of the joint, that is the NCOP and the ANC, I'm sorry, and the NA, and then we take a decision to go to an oversight. And then the NCOP at the same time says, okay, you can go, unfortunately we'll be going somewhere, but decision has been taken by both, then we go. Are you saying that we cannot? Because the NCOP is not there.
Thank you, Honorable Ben. Honorable Ben.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Yeah. I think the issue that we have a problem with is that oversight is conducted by individuals, members of parliament. It's conducted by committees. It can be conducted by groups. It can be split up. And there's all different forms of oversight that are accommodated. I think what we need clarity on is there specific conditions set for joint committees? If there are specific conditions set for joint committees, then that will be different to the NA rules and not the joint rules. So I think we need the clarity on that one. The other one is the issue of the rules still applying according to the joint rules. It means that every single decision of this committee and all minutes could not have been approved. This committee is therefore suspended in all the information that is available and all decisions taken, which is very serious. And I think if this matter is not addressed, Mr. Chair, by the Speaker and the whips of the parties, then this is a sad reflection on Parliament. I think it's very important that the Speaker takes up this matter with the whips. If this is not a suitable time to meet, we find a suitable time to meet for the members. If it's untenable to be a joint committee, and this is a national competency, we should make this only in a committee, make this a PC committee and not a joint committee. But we have to be realistic. Can we meet as a joint committee? If it's not possible, then dispense with it. Get on with one committee and we get the job done. But I feel very much compromised that I'm not doing my oversight work as a member of parliament.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Can we? Okay, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. Let me apologize for coming late, this bus problem. Chairperson, mine is, I hear that you are saying we have joint co-chairpersons. So what about WIPs? Do we have the same? Do we do the same as WIPs?
Thank you, Marina.
You're
welcome,
Honorable
Bloom.
I think all the questions basically boil down to one problem, and that is the problem lies in the membership and the fact that this committee at the moment.
Thank you, Honorable Denia. The questions are being answered.
To the best of my knowledge, is not properly constituted at this point. It was properly constituted at the beginning of the fourth parliament. Now, in terms of the formula, members must have, this committee must have the following membership. 26 from the ANC, 6 from the DA, 3 from COPE, and 2 from IFP. Now, the rules and the constitution, the 93 constitution which establishes this committee, is silent on the NCOP component. Okay, can I just repeat those numbers? ANC 26,
mm-hmm.
DA 6, COPE 3, IFP 2. That gives you a total of 37. That's how many you should be. Okay, and that would then you would, from those, you would elect two co-chairpersons. That's what the rules say. Now, the 93 constitution and the rules are silent on how many NCOP members there should be. But it is a joint committee, and it's, the constitution says it must be members from both houses. So what happened was, in the third parliament, of the membership then, there were 9 NCOP members, because that was like the standard component for an NCOP member. Then the Rules Committee at the start of the fourth parliament in 2009 decided that, okay, for this committee as well, of this party membership, the parties must decide who of their members are going to come from the NCOP. But there should be at least 9 NCOP members. So parties were then given an opportunity to negotiate amongst themselves. Say, for example, the DA had 6 members. They said, okay, we'll bring 2 from the NCOP of our members, and we'll bring 4 from NA. ANC was given a chance to say how many they would bring from the NCOP. So between the parties, they were supposed to find how many members, at least 9, would be from the NCOP. So you have, in other words, 37 minus 9. Help me, please. 28. Thank you, sir. So, in other words, at this point, there will be 28 NA members, and there will be 9 NCOP members in this committee, if it's properly constituted. Okay. Now, then the decision-making mechanism kicks in, and the quorum decision. Okay? So, of this number, you need to have 19 present to be a quorum. Okay? Now, it makes sense that if the NA component is 28, it could happen. I'm saying it actually couldn't happen because the chair at least will be an NCOP member. Even if only the chairperson of the NCOP co-chair is present. But say, for example, the rest of the members are all, say there are 20 or 21 members present, are all from NA, because the NA component is 28. Then they can take a decision. And the NCOP will not have been present except for the chair who was here. Okay? But that could happen only on condition that meeting was properly called, all members were informed of the meeting, members were given an opportunity to attend the meeting. In other words, it was properly, you understand what I'm saying? If the NCOP members weren't deliberately excluded from the meeting, there must be no aspersion about it.
Yes.
So the fact is that you've got 28 NA members, 9 NCOP members, together they make 37, but you need 19 for a quorum, and then of that 19, 10 will be the majority who takes the decision. So actually out of the 37, you only need 10 members present, only 10 members voting in favor of something to make a decision of this committee. As far as the oversight visits are concerned, you know, you can't go on an oversight visit without the committee formally taking a decision. And that's where then it will work as I've just explained. 19 members present, irrespective of who and where they come from, 19 present, 10 vote in favor of the oversight visit, and then whoever goes on the oversight visit. But once again, I mean, if there is a problem, and you go back and you look at the decision of the committee, they'll be looking towards if there's a problem. Committee members must remember that if there's a problem in this committee and it's not functioning properly, the chairs can be called to the Rules Committee to come and explain what is going on. And that is something one wants to avoid, because that's a last resort. It's happened before. Mr. McGuinness when he was the Home Affairs chair. So the fact is you need to try, and what they will then do is to go back and look at the decision of the committee and look at the intent and look at whether everything was procedurally in order when that decision was taken. So what I'm saying is that under normal circumstances, it could happen that only NA members go on an oversight visit. But it mustn't be a case of the NCOP members being excluded deliberately. So the matter of co-whips, ma'am, there's nothing in the rules about whips. Whips, that's a party arrangement. So whether they have whips from both houses is also, that's an arrangement that the chief whip will take, in the two chief whips of the two houses, whether they want to do that. So you asked about the specific conditions for oversight. There's nothing that determines how committees must exercise their oversight, you know, in what they must go on a visit and terrain visit and do it in this committees have the freedom to decide for themselves how they want to conduct that oversight and what format it must take. So,
if the committee sits as a joint committee, that's the condition, and the chairs are present, both chairs, decisions are made that the committee can be split to do oversight and report back to the committee for decision making on a particular matter. Mm-hmm. Oversight is still executed by decision of the committee. Mm-hmm. Which should be in order. Is that? Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Honorable Bloom.
Chairperson, yeah, I just thank you very much. I'm having the same problem with transport, but I'm here. You know, I'm always not late, but yeah. I'm here today.
I know.
That M5 was blocked today.
I know.
Chairperson, I want clarity on this issue of chairpersons. If one chairperson, as Marina have said, one chairperson, you, let me make an example, you from the NCOP is present, and 10 members of the National Assembly is present, then that will, you can take a decision. But if you, as the NCOP chairperson, is not present, and the chairperson of the NA is present with 10 members of the National Assembly, will that be...
No, must be 19.
19, okay, 19. The figure was... But my question is, if Mr. Mzizi is not there, and what is his name, the other chairperson, Marke, is there with 19 others of the National Assembly, will that be proper or not?
Okay, Mr. Bloom, in terms of Rule 23, says that co-chairpersons must co-chair. It's obligatory. There's no leeway there for it happening, except if by agreement. So the fact that Mr. Montizzi is sitting here on his own, well, the committee assumes that there was an agreement between him and Mr. Marquet that he will chair the meeting today because Mr. Marquet is either otherwise occupied and cannot be at the meeting or something like that. But one assumes that, unless stated otherwise, that it's done by agreement. So the committees must co-chair. It's as simple as that.
Thank you very much.
Okay, honourable members, we have heard about the quorum and so on, and the membership and so on. And we have jointly with Honourable Maki asked the Rules Committee to reduce the membership. Marina has reported that issue has been considered.
Mm.
And then in addition to that, we will make a proper follow-up with the two chief whips to ensure that a joint committee has its own membership of joint. You don't have membership that doubles up portfolio committee and membership and portfolio committee and then joint, so that there should be a dedicated core of personnel within joint. That way, joint will be able to execute its own task, its own duties. Because sometimes the problem that we have is when one committee is meeting, the other committee cannot meet because some of the members are in another committee. And sometimes even when oversight has to be organized, it's a question of the other committee is doing certain things. So the issue of reliance of committees is not sustainable and is not assisting in ensuring that each and every committee is able to execute its mandate. So those are some of the issues that we'll pick up with the chief. But for now, let's excuse Honorable. let's excuse...
It's not part of the rules.
let's excuse you, Marina. So our committee is not a portfolio committee, it's a joint committee. We work as two houses, NCOP and so on. And the constitution is very clear that not all political parties can become members of joint. And the other issue is that in the NCOP, when they say 9 members from the NCOP, they don't necessarily mean representation from provinces, but the parties that have been able to acquire in the elections a certain number, those parties have the latitude for providing members of joint. The ID, for instance, is not expected to participate. So those are the issues that are captured by the interim constitution.
Yes, I want to.
So, lastly, the Joint Standing Committee on Defense is different from other parliamentary committees because it is set up in terms of the constitution. The constitution decided that there must be this particular type of committee to do this particular way. Yeah, I think we are getting there, Marina. You are getting there. Gradually, yeah.
We want the committee to work. It's important for this committee to work. They've got big work.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Just a point of clarity on the last point. The nine NCOP members, the how it is made up, the composition, is that not subject to proportionality?
That's
or is it simply left open?
It's up to the parties. Look, the ANC must have 26 members. And then if they, the idea is for the four parties, I think it's four parties that are represented here. For the four parties, the whips just to get together, or the chief whips to get together, to say, okay, I'll take two of my people from the NCOP to make up the nine, that they just talk amongst themselves and that they decide who, how they will, it can be done, yeah, by, it doesn't need to be, the DA can maybe give three if they want to, and the ANC can give three or two or whatever, and the other parties, IFP, maybe come up with someone and cope as well, so... It depends on the parties how they negotiate. As long as there are nine members from the NCOP, there's no prescript anywhere to say there must be so many and must be so many.
Follow up that one. That would then the assumption would be that the rules committee normally approves that with the speaker, the composition of any committee. Would that mean that the whips have discussed and the parties and they come to a meeting where they agree who the nine members will be?
Yes, it's normally the committee, when the committee section sits down and it starts, it will get 26 names from the ANC, and the ANC will then propose a number of members from the NCOP. Normally because the ANC has the most members, it would normally make up the larger number in the NCOP component. Because it has more members, and it's just easier for the ANC, you know, they've got, and as the other parties are smaller and have fewer members. So, but there's no prescript as far as that's concerned. It's normally done by horse trading, you know, so hey, we'll do this if you do this, and we've got members here, could you help us with the members here, you know, it's that type of thing.
Marina, thanks very much, and honorable members, can we... Yeah.
In taking a decision about a quorum is 19, I just want to be clear that 19 members of the committee, so there's no imports. Fine.
No, what Marina is saying is the quorum based on 37 is 19. But the decision... Yeah.
I think, Honorable Maynard, you know, when he's talking about imports, because we sometimes ask members when we, like, when we don't form a quorum, he's trying to for a decision.
Yeah.
I think that needs to be... Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's there in the... It's page 17, Marina, it's there. Yeah, members who can be co-opted to participate in the committee who don't necessarily belong in the committee. It's there in the rules, so it's not a problem.
I want to respond to your summary in your closing remarks, because that summary, if it can be left unchallenged, it will cause us some problems. I think it's a perception, unless if it is happening in the NCOP. Members of the NA that serves in the joint are members of the NA that serves in the defense, PC. And there is no time where the PC is meeting and affecting the joint. So if it affects the NCOP, I think it should be a matter that the NCOP deals with it, because it is not affecting the NA.
No, Chair, I don't think that we must discuss this thing in here. One, I will propose that it's a discussion for a study group to decide on that thing. No, honestly, you see, because now it's parties who deploy people to committees. It's a fact. You see, now this one must go to the study group with respect, Chairperson. Marina can't get involved in that, who must be there in this committee and who must be in that other committee. Let us leave it for study groups. My study group will decide who must go to the PC and who must go to the Joint Standing Committee.
Okay, if Honorable Bloom is saying it should be omitted from the minutes, because this meeting is minuted.
Yes.
And if it is going to be minuted with your comments, then it will be a wrong decision for the committee.
Yes.
Okay, Honorable Masia, the question we are asking is, is there a problem if the Portfolio Committee on Defense in the National Assembly has got its own membership? And is there a problem if the Joint Standing Committee on Defense has got its own membership? Is there a problem?
It's a political matter.
Honorable Louis?
Yeah. Chair, I think also in addition to what Honorable Mazia is saying, and in making a remark to what you said, you know very well that it is an onerous proposal from this committee that there will be ever be available members of the NCOP separate from committees. It's just onerous. I don't see it happening. So what Honorable Mazia is saying, let's take proper decisions as the committee. And I just disagree with Bloom. He can't play two parties. He must decide where he is. He can't instruct other people to go to a study group. He must know where his bread is buttered. But as I say, for instance, honestly knows that in the NCOP, generally the chief whip makes proposals for names, but she selects the names and make proposals. For instance, the members that are participating, just like in the NA, the members that are participating in this committee are members of the security select. So, in all honesty, you Chair, Honorable Mutsit, you are a member of finance representing Gauteng. Now, it's just unimaginable that Gauteng won't be represented in finance because you are supposed to take full membership. Yeah. So, what I'm trying to say, let's present facts as they are, so that whatever decisions we arrive at are proper and appropriate for the real situation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Louis Zimande. Now we are referring to the NA, not the NCOP. NCOP one member has got six committees. That's the minimum. We are referring to the NA. But otherwise, thank you very much.
Again, Chairperson, I don't think you will decide over the NA. And this committee can decide over the NA. We are a committee here, a joint standing committee. The decisions that we take here are the decisions that affect the committee, not a particular house. No, Chairperson.
Yeah, I think you are out of order because we were done with that.
Domestic affairs. Chairperson.
Out of order because I'm not saying I'm opening up this issue.
No, Chairperson, your comments are opening it up. And I can raise a question. And the question that I can raise to you, Chairperson, is how many NA members do you always see in this committee? Is your problem because every time there is a joint standing committee meeting, NA members are not attending? Or NCOP members are not present? From that premise, I think you are out of order.
Let me be in order.
Chairperson. Before you go on, can we release Marina? She has done a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Okay, before we release you then, let's give Dennis. Honorable Dennis.
Chairperson. You see, that's why. You see, Louis responding just out of the blue. You see, Louis just responding. I'm saying it's a domestic affair. Don't discuss it here. Take it to the parties.
Okay.
Honestly, it's not nice. It's not nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Domestic things must not be in the open. No, Louis is just responding for this.
Honorable Bloom, you have been heard.
Thank you very much.
Louis, you are out of order.
I'm in the
committee meeting. I'm not out of the blue. and my response was
Louis.
In the record of the committee. Comrades, we are left with very few minutes. So please, Comrade Louis, please. Please, honorable members, please. Marina, this is not how we conduct our business, by the way.
Nothing wrong with a bit of humor, actually. Mr. Chair, just a final remark from my side as someone who's been working on the issues of this committee for a long time, and I'm just expressing the hope that what I'm seeing here, and I stand as an observer. I'm outside of this committee.
Yeah.
I have no interest other than wanting it to function properly. Just that the honourable members must keep in mind that we're approaching the end of the year. We've got another NCACC report which has just been tabled.
Mm.
We are waiting for the letter about the employment to Marikana, which you will be expected to deal with. And
exactly.
So I mean, aside from all the politics and everything else happening, I think at some stage we need to get to grips with what this committee is supposed to be doing, because there will also be an annual report to you on how many meetings you had and what issues you dealt with. I mean, I haven't yet to see a report on the NCACC reports coming from this committee. So in terms of output, I think we need to try and get this committee. We're doing our best from us, and we're really trying to get this committee to work, and we'll push for it in the rules committee. But then we also need members to... Sorry, I'm sounding like my father now. He's a dualist.
You are right, Marina. Preach, sister, preach.
Thank you very much, Marina. It's not the first time. It will be the third and the fourth time we call you.
Good luck to everyone.
Thank you.
Honorable members, the last item on the agenda is the program. Do we have copies of the program?
Yes, Chair.
Yeah. Then I'm going to propose we adopt the program as we go.
On page one of the program.
I'm proposing we adopt it.
Can I go on? Two hands noted. Louis. Yeah, just a minute. We will read the program out, and then...
No, Louis, no, Chair, what is in the program.
Honorable Dennis, your hand was up, and then Honorable Manir.
Sorry, Chair. Chair, you know, this program was distributed to us. I got it in my office. I got it in my office, Chair. And I think that, and I'm always saying that in committees, when there's a program is never static. This is a guide. And I will propose that we adopt this program as is. As the committee goes, there's always going to be changes and whatever and whatever, like the program of parliament. You can't adopt a program of parliament for the entire term or whatever. I am proposing that we adopt this program.
Okay. Thanks. Sit down, Denise. Honorable Minister.
Chair, just a question of clarity.
Okay.
My question of clarity is, who drafted this program?
Honorable Denyas.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, to start with, in the front page of this program, it says the study code, then it says oversight, and COP. That which you were just told. It means already when it starts, then the NA members are out of that oversight, which is of the NCOP. We cannot be reflecting NCOP. If we are talking of a program of the joint, let's talk joint, not different houses, the Suga Japan in Che, that reflection is wrong. It's not supposed to be there. We are supposed to be finding our feet and ways of making sure that as a joint, how do we get to do oversight and other things that are necessary for us to do. Zisuganje, if it's reflected that, then it means already you are saying, this program is saying, during those days we won't be able to go to oversight because NCOP won't be there. Then that does not even begin to tell us that that's a program. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable members, there's a program, the annual program that the committee adopted. It started from January right up to December, and we had some dates in February next year. I mean, yeah, February, March next year. It was a comprehensive program of the committee about the issues that the committee ought to do, and we had requested all members to contribute items. Some members contributed, Manir contributed earlier in the year, and then we finalized what you'd call our own annual program. But as you know, what Parliament does is to change the parliamentary program. And when they change the parliamentary program, it affects all programs of committees. And the committees have got to begin to chop and change. Then we start to call them the first quarter program and so on. But all those programs are sourced from the annual program of the committee. So you have copies of the annual program that were given to you at the beginning of the year. When you look at that particular program, you'll be able to see that most of the issues that we have been dealing with so far are as a result of that comprehensive program that we handed to the presiding officials. Because what they are saying to us every time is, what is your strategic plan? What is your annual program for the year? Give a projection. Don't come up with some suck and say, next week you're going to do this. So they want something that is annual. Now, because they changed their program, the presiding officers, they changed the program of parliament, all chairpersons in committees, they'll have to adjust. So this is an adjustment as a result of the changing scenario in Parliament.
there's nothing new with the program. But the issue that Honorable Daniels has raised about the reflection of the NCOP and so on and so on. Yeah, I think I take that because the program as drafted by our committee secretary must be able to say what the parliamentary program is, not just provide us information about the NCOP. It must say what the entire parliament is doing. So with those amendments, we can be able to, the amendment on the issue of the NCOP taking parliament to the people, committee week, and so on. When it says committee week, is it NCOP only? So the NA does not have committee week. So that is true. These issues have to be taken out. And there has to be an amendment on these issues. You can't reflect NCOP, NCOP only. That is correct. But otherwise, the program itself comes from the annual program that we adopted very early in the year. Yeah, the big program. All of you have got that program. So what we are doing is to chop and change. When the parliamentary program changes, we chop and change. We call it second quarter, we call it third quarter, and so on and so on. Yeah. Yeah, Chief.
So, Chair, just a point of clarity. I do appreciate that one has to chop and change when the parliamentary program changes. But it makes it extremely difficult if one has to inform departments and entities to appear before the committee or do briefings. And if that has been concluded and there's been correspondence, I'd like to know if that's been adopted at the beginning of the year. Did correspondence go out immediately to all the entities to tell them we're projecting that we're going to interview or have a briefing by you in October at the end of the year? Can you tell if it's a suitable date or not? So they could give us the options well ahead of time to have reconfirmed it. Because I see next to every single item is TBC to be confirmed. Now, I don't know what correspondence has taken place between the chair and those relevant departments. So every time we get short notices, and this is not good for my own life and my planning that I've got to do, and I think also for NCOP, if some of them have to sacrifice to be here at the committee and to make this committee work, then the NCOP chief whip needs to understand that they have 9 members, and if they must avail 4 or 5 out of the 9, a majority of them, to be here, then they need to make that arrangement. But they cannot compromise the committee to perform its work. Otherwise, we're not going to achieve what we have to set out to achieve. I mean, this year already has gone, and we can't make any decisions. Thank you, Shimon.
Thank you. Bulela, can you explain about the interaction of Namaste?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. As soon as a program of the committee is adopted, we forward it to the department. Whatever correspondence, even if it's to the AMCO or DNEL, we forward it to PLOs of the Department of Defense.
And then do you talk to the various stakeholders? And what happens when the program of parliament changes?
In the case of the parliamentary program change, we inform the relevant stakeholders as well as the department so as to reach it. But it must first come to the committee, which state is available to accommodate that end.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Manir?
Yes, we must go to a public hearing of, on the traditional court. I'll see there's four members. Yes, yeah, who's also
okay. Thank you, Honorable Bloom. Enjoy your day, Honorable Bloom. Whose hands are up? Honorable Mani. Yeah.
Chair, just through you, I wonder if I could ask the Secretary to send me this, what you called the big program from which you're chopping and changing. I don't recall such a big program, and I don't recall it being adopted. I'd be interested to see it. But my question still stands. Who adjusted and drafted this program? What group of people did it?
Honorable Louis Nguni, when we speak in the meeting, we usually raise our hands. So now that you are out of order, I haven't given you permission yet. Honorable Manir, just about the program. Honorable members, what happens is when the program of parliament changes, the secretary alerts the chairs because the program must be signed by both chairs to be handed over to the NA and to be handed over to the NCOP. When we request a meeting to sit, we apply on the basis of the program, because once you do not have the program, you cannot be able to have the meeting, you cannot be able to be allocated a venue to sit and discuss without a program. So it is the program that enables us, the co-chairpersons, to apply for a meeting and sign the application for the meetings, and then the secretary takes it to the NA, and then once it has been signed in the NA, she takes it to the NCOP. That is how we are able to have our meetings. So what we can try to make available again is that comprehensive program which we discussed a long time ago. Yeah. Honorable Daniels.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just wanted to check with the changing of the program, whether by Parliament or wherever it's changed. Seeing that in the last quarter we had some items on the agenda or on the program that we did not do, does that then suggest that those are part of the items that were changed on the program? Take, for instance, we're supposed to visit a basis, and I don't see it here. Are we still going to do that? Because that was part of the program also. Does it then mean that was changed? Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, Honorable Member, when we look at the comprehensive program, those oversight visits to the bases, they are still there. Because we said we are going to use those oversight visits to the bases in order to acquire more information for members' input in the review. So the Air Force, we are going to visit it, the Army and the Navy and so on. All those, we are going to visit them. The only problem with the parliamentary program now is that they are not giving us any other time to go for oversight. When you look at the program of Parliament. So we have to take those issues first time in the year, make an application now to the presiding officer to say January, February, this is what we are going to do. It was given to them. We are supposed to do them during the course of this year. But again, Parliament, she comes and says, Chairperson, they have changed the program of Parliament and so on and so on. Once the presiding officer has changed the program, there's nothing any committee can do. We become dependent on them. There's nothing we can do. They will say three line whip, whether in the NA, there's nothing that can be done. They'll call all chairpersons in the meeting and say the program has changed and these are the issues and so on and so on. It's a problem because the fight that has to be fought on our behalf, it's mainly the whips who should be fighting that fight for us. The presiding officials, they change the program. They change it. So once they change the program and they want the committees not to go out, it becomes a problem. So all those visits are still going to take place. We'll put them January, February, but the next year comes and January, February, we say we are going out. They come up now with something else. So we have to make sure that we, from the chairperson's meetings, from the whip's meetings, we fight our battles. Honorable Mlambo, Honorable, and then you are noted, Honorable Masi.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I don't think it's a, I just want this to be put on record, because if the presiding officers are the ones that are going to determine our program, I understand the parliamentary one, but we've got constituencies as members of parliament, and we are representing our people. So I really don't understand why always, especially on these two committees, I won't talk of the joint only, but on these two committees, you know, we haven't, since I arrived here, we haven't fulfilled our mandate in terms of oversight. I think that should be on record, and it's pathetic. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah.
Honorable Man.
Thank you, Chair. As you put it, that now it's going to be in January, this oversight to the APACs. Is it an assumption, or maybe is it now standing that now, in fact, during January, we are going to do that? Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Man. Honorable Zul.
Chair, I'd could not agree more with my honourable colleague. This committee is not fulfilling its constitutional mandate. The problem with this committee, frankly, is not the membership of the committee, it is the leadership of the committee. Now, it seems to me that what we need to do here is possibly adjourn this meeting, give the co-chairs of this committee an opportunity to review this program and come back with a different proposal. And it would seem to me that the program must include oversight of the South African National Defence Force. In my own view, the program needs to include urgently, one, a meeting with the chief of the SANDF and the service chiefs, where we review the performance of the Defence Force in the last quarter, a meeting with the chairperson of the NCACC, Mr. Jeff Radebe, and the DCACC on the NCACC's annual report, and then oversight visits. I think it's a matter of urgency, and that would be my proposal, that we adjourn this meeting, that we give the co-chairs an opportunity to review this program and come back with a different proposal, because it is pathetic.
Thank you, Honorable Manir. Honorable Zulu, you are noted, Honorable Garcia.
Thank you, Chair. In the changing of the program of the committee, I propose sometimes we must invite in this meeting both chair houses,
board houses to come here to explain this committee. Why? I'm sitting in the programming committee. Even today joined, it's never had any such thing that any committee must change their program. Maybe house chair, board house chairs, will come to explain us in this committee why we're changing the program of the committee. Because you have submitted the program of the committee, we should be go ahead of the activities of the committee.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Honorable Z. Masia?
Yeah, no, Chairperson, I agree that maybe we should attend this meeting and also that I don't see us adopting a program of NCOP in the Joint Standing Committee meeting. I don't see that happening. I'm even asking myself...
Which program of NCOP?
This program that I have here is not a program of the Joint.
Okay.
Yes. No, let me finish.
Honorable Masia,
can
the secretary explain that?
No, let me finish.
No. If you are wrong, Chief, let's call it to order.
I'm not wrong.
No, you are
I know I'm not wrong.
No, you are wrong. Let's call it to order. Let the secretary clarify. She drafted the report.
On a point of order.
Secretary.
On a point of order, the member has a right to speak. He has and a right to put his point of view before this committee. He can't simply be shouted down, Chairperson.
Secretary, can you explain this?
Chairperson, on a point of order, a member was in the middle of making a statement. He has a right to make that statement before this committee, and I would like to hear his statement. You are out of order, in my view, simply shouting him down.
Can you explain this thing?
What point of order?
No, comrades, look.
No, point of order, Chair. I think.
Wait, Mlambo.
No, I can't.
Just
you
wait.
See,
Mlambo,
Chief.
Wait,
okay. No, I can't.
Wait.
Please.
Just wait.
You can't give the secretary of the committee to give an explanation when there is a point of order.
You see,
no, you can't, Chief.
Mlambo, it's the second time you behave like this in a meeting.
No, but if you are wrong as the chairperson, does that give you the right to continue
time.
Being wrong?
Can I,
I'm calling on you
can
to
I,
keep quiet.
Can I,
the second time.
Can I rise okay. on a point of
you
order?
You can't call me to keep quiet, please.
I'm yeah. calling on you to keep quiet.
No.
Chairperson, can I call?
I'm hearing this meeting. I'm calling on you to
chairperson,
keep quiet.
Chairperson, on a point of order.
Okay.
We're out of order, Chairperson.
On a point of order, Chairperson.
Okay. Yeah, go on.
I should think if we don't want to hold a meeting, we'll rather just stop. Every meeting has got its own. There are principles and rules of meetings. And if you are going to force me to agree with Honorable Mani, which is unlike me, I should think it means you are pushing it too far. And we don't need to call each other as co-chairs to order. I should think Honorable Mazia was on the floor. These are rules of how to run a meeting. As on a point of order. There's no way in which you can... A secretary is a secretary. These are members. And members must say what they want. Please, it's on a point of order. And it's uncalled for two co-chairpersons to call each other to order. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Masia, what I was referring to is this is not a program of the NCOP. And it's neither
on a point of order. He
and
is
it's
on
neither
the floor.
A program.
Let me punish you.
It's neither a program of the NA.
Let me express my view.
Continue, Honorable Masi.
Yes. Let me express my view unless you don't want me to serve you.
Okay.
Continue,
okay.
Honorable Masi.
Okay.
Yeah. Chairperson, firstly, I want to remind you that Ubukeru is the committee secretary. It's not a member. Ubukelwa does not decide anything over us. We decide. And if we are not happy about anything, it's not Ubukelwa that should give us an explanation. It is these members who have got authority over anything that we do in this committee. Ubukelwa, her work is to inform us of meetings.
Just correction. Bulelwa.
Okay. Take minutes, make sure that the committee runs accordingly on instructions of the chairpersons. So it should never happen again that you call me to order and you ask Bulelwa to advise me. I'm not going to accept that. Chairperson, I have a program before me here, which is a program that is expected to be a program of the joint committee. On the first date of the oversight, the 9th to the 12th of October, it is very clear, it says MCOP. On the second oversight again, the 23rd to the 26th, it says MCOP. On the third program again, the 5th to the 9th of November, it says MCOP. And unless this is explained to me, what it says is that it is MCOP that will be doing this oversight. And I'm saying if that is the case, then it is not a joint standing committee program. It is an MCOP program.
Thank you, Honorable Musi. Honorable members, a motion has been proposed that we should adjourn the meeting and then the two co-chairs should have a look at the program and then rectify the program and present it at another convening day. Is there a supporter for the motion? Honorable Zulu?
Chairperson, for me, is any problem we're facing for to explain this? Because the honorable member asked for a clarity.
Okay.
About this. Because it's taking the parliamentary people must explain what's happening there. Is it discommit or not? That oversight thing must explain it to the member. It is NSOP members going to make an oversight, doing the oversight without NA. Must explain the office.
Okay. Yeah, Honorable Zulu, what we had said was that when Honorable Daniels raised it, we noted it, that she's correct. Because what the secretary had included here was the NCOP. I asked her, where is the NA? You see, why do you include a program of the NCOP and not include the program of the NA? So that matter was dealt with. You see, so the best that we could do under the circumstances is probably to follow the adjournment we as proposed so that this particular program can be re-looked at and then submitted in the pigeonholes of honorable members. And then honorable members can be able to make contributions on this particular program. Are we agreed, honorable members? Honorable Mulambo?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I fully agree with the suggestion because we are not going anywhere with this meeting. So I support the motion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there any seconder? Thank you, Manzini. And then, Daniels, are you raising another issue?
Yes. Chair, I also concur with what the honorable members have said. But also, I would like to also make another suggestion because it will be a follow-up to what has been said. Again, when you are looking at this program...
Honorable Daniels, do you want to open discussion?
No. I just want to pay...
We have taken a decision, Honorable Daniels.
Yes.
We are not discussing the program anymore. We have taken a decision that we are going to...
Okay, it's fine.
Thank you, Honorable Senior. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you, Honorable Member.
But I think we come up with a program, I wanted to make a suggestion, what come back with another program. They should also take too long. Because if you don't need this, this committee.
There's some fruit.
So you mean
there's some fruit?
Before we did this legislative responsibility of this department, we are first dealing with the principal. And if we're going to have a meeting, I'm just going to step on the 18th and then the next one. Simply because that house is going to be taking water to the
school. It means
we never achieve what we want to achieve
because we want the members, because they haven't received their advice.
Certain people must not be part of the
I think
saying,
that
must happen.
Then we can't change the without all the other agencies.
This must happen with the NCO. Look at our intervals that we need. They are one of our intervals. I've been talking to I woke up at 5 to come to the meeting and keep Shaboa Oyo. But again, you are calling at me. That woman was here. What's going on? I mean, this is a problem. If this meeting today was chaired by you, the next one is you. The next one is you. Jalojwa. And the question you were asking is, Yari, that's a political issue. There's only one with Yari Department of Defense and Military Veterans is one. And there's only one study group that defends the military. It's not joint defense, it's not joint one. Yes, on both committees.